Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
You're listening to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Now remember when you were a kid and you had your first political awakening? That moment when you're sitting in the cafeteria between classes and suddenly it hits you. You're not just a kid eating tater tots anymore. You're a citizen of the world. Well, most of us dealt with that moment by trying to play the part of the concerned citizen. Or at least what we thought the concerned citizen was supposed to sound like.
November 1st, 1992.
That's Stephen Chupasky at a Mortified event in New York. A prime example of the syndrome. Complete with highbrow words and a patronizing tone.
The election of 1992 is 2 days away. I cannot wait to see the end of this infamous presidential race. The campaign has fatigued me. I would love it if Bill Clinton won. If Ross Perot wins, fine.
Well, today on the podcast, we're featuring tales of kids swept up by election fever in our special Mortified mixtape to kids on the campaign trail. One who saw the election through the lens of a television show, and the other who saw the election through the lens of a campaign song. Side A. When she was 14, Ari Scott shocked her liberal parents by announcing she had become a Republican. And her political views came from watching television, just not exactly the evening news.
The passion to be a Republican for me came from family ties and liking the character of Alex P. Keaton, even though I knew it was a comedy. I think I took that character more seriously than it probably was intended to be. It's not that I'm mortified or ashamed of having thought I was a Republican or conservative. I think what's more mortifying is thinking like I really understood what it meant to be conservative when I really didn't. I was, you know, passionate about something I didn't understand.
First page of my diary has my name, Ariana Scott, address, Northport, New York. And then party, I wrote Republican, conservative, anti-commie. And then I wrote in big letters on the front page, I can tell that you snuck in here. Look at yourself snooping around my diary, and you call yourself an American. You sneaky, vomitous slob. Thursday, July 21st. Last night, I stayed up late watching the Democratic National Convention, and also did tonight. Mike Dukakis made his acceptance speech, which I saw the last 40 minutes of. Now it's over. Dukakis didn't really say anything except about our country and jobs, etc. Tuesday, August 16th. Bush picked a running mate. His name is Dan Quayle, and he's from Indiana, Senator. He's 41, good-looking, and energetic. Beats Benson, anyway. Tuesday, November 8th, 1988. Today was so cool. I have great news. The polls are in. Bush, Quayle.
When Bush and Quayle won the election of 1988, I was very excited because my side won, and I knew that the boy in school that I had a crush on also wanted Bush and Quayle to win, so I knew that this was something we could bond over. I just thought he was cute and nice and shy and a little more popular than I was, so there was something a little out of reach about him. The moments where I did get his attention and we would chat about politics, they were not long involved conversations at all.
I talked to Evan today. Okay, so in math, here's our conversation. Me sitting at desk. Evan holding up Bush button. Bush. Evan smiling. Yeah, Bush. Also, on the way out of math, Evan, yes, he started it. Ari, where'd you get that button? Me, oh, Vanessa brought like 20 to school. Evan, oh. I swear to God, I'm walking with him tomorrow. I will. Wednesday, November 9th. First of all, Bush is not the actual president until January 20th. But boy, what a great day. I am so glad Evan is for Bush. In math, he said, Bush, and we smiled at each other. Then in English, Evan and Scott were talking about Bush and Dukakis, and Evan looked at me and said, Bush. And I made a fist and said, yeah, or Bush. Then, while we were walking out of the band storage room, me holding up Bush bumper sticker, Evan, Bush, where'd you get that? Me, oh, at the social studies resource room. I got like two of these and a few stickers. So I went with my mom to vote. She voted for Dukakis. Evan, oh. Me, I know. But I was thinking, like, what would happen if I accidentally stuck my hand in the voting booth and it slipped and hit the wrong thing? Because I was sticking my head in. Evan, you were in the voting booth with your mom? Me. Well, I was just sticking my head in, but yeah, my whole family was in there, all my sisters. Evan, that's illegal, you know. Me. It is? Are you sure? Evan, yeah, it's illegal.
I think I was hoping that the conversation would turn into something longer. You know, maybe instead of just talking for 5 seconds at the end of class, we would maybe walk to our next class together. But that never happened.
So Ari didn't win the campaign to land her high school crush. And by the time the next presidential campaign rolled around, Ari no longer felt the Bush-Quayle victory of 88 was so great either.
Slowly dawned on me that it didn't change my life in any significant way that maybe I thought it would. And I can't even remember, honest to God, I don't remember who I voted for in the 92 election.
Ari's political views eventually matured and no longer trickled down from her favorite sitcom. Sort of.
I've always loved Alex B. Keaton. I still love that character. But by the time I entered college, I had probably let go of that wanting to be like him and wanting to, you know, be a conservative. I was more hippie-ish and left-leaning. Maybe in a way, I eventually became more like Stephen and Elise Keaton.
That was Ari Scott, sharing her family ties-inspired political views. And now, side B of our Mortified mixtape to kids on the campaign trail. We continue with a story that reminds us that the difference between winning and losing an election often has nothing to do with a candidate's platforms and everything to do with their popularity, especially if you're running for your high school student council. That's why, if you grew up with our next reader, Angel Yao, she might have seemed like a very unlikely candidate.
I was pretty awkward with any social situation. I was known as a quiet weirdo.
Some of Angel's awkwardness in school can be attributed to being the daughter of immigrants who didn't speak English at home.
when I was in like nursery school, I didn't really understand what was going on because I couldn't understand the language.
But Angel was determined to overcome her awkwardness.
Whenever the teacher would ask a question, and I would write down how I was going to say that answer. And I kind of would repeat it in my head before I am comfortable to raise my hand and say it out loud.
And by junior high, Angel had stumbled upon a new way to express herself, one that eventually gave her the confidence to run for political office in high school. Here's Angel Yao, recorded at King King in Los Angeles.
So when I was in junior high school, I felt really like alone and I couldn't connect with anyone at all. And I don't know if it's because I was like too mature for everyone or if I secretly liked the loneliness. And that is shown by my million depressing, self-loathing, bad metaphor songs that I wrote. But bands like Metallica and Korn really influenced my songs. So here is a song I'm going to sing to you guys a cappella. It's called Freak in the Window. In the Window. Oh, look at that freak in the window. A dollar or two it will be. I wanted to buy that little freak. Oh, yes, I do. Kiss my ass, why don't you? Buying a freak, just go to hell. Freak all you people. You know you can't buy no freak. You think you're all that, but I think you're shit. You say you love me, but I think you're a bad seed. A freak by the window is a freak not for sale. You say you want to buy. You say you know all, but really you just break some laws. A freak by the window is human too. So I had a lot of songs similar to that one, but I'll spare you the lyrics. And I'll just tell you the song titles, you'll probably get the gist. So there was Forever Depressed. The meaning of crying. Invisible Love. Fake Tears. Get Real. Inflatable Mind. And VIP Pass to Hell. So that was sad. So I thought to myself, I had to change. I have to make friends in high school or else I'll be just, you know, going crazy. The high school I went to was like a prestigious high school. It was in New York City. So everyone was really smart and the popular kids were like the Harvard-bound kids. They were all good-looking and multi-talented. They could play like five instruments and could fly or something. I know what you're thinking. You're like, Angel must have fit right in. No. So then I remember watching the school elections and I thought, okay, if I did something different and if I didn't read from a piece of paper and just like spoke with my heart, I could win the election. And even if I don't win that 5 minutes on stage, that's when like people will notice me and know how witty and creative I am. And it'll be my time to shine. The position I ran for was called Queens Superintendent Advisory Board Council. It was called CUSAC. I didn't run for president or vice president because that was too hard. So this was the position I ran for because it was the easiest position and because no one knew what it was. So I was like, all right, sign me up. Okay, so here's my speech. You know, I had this whole speech prepared. 2 pages, size 12, Roman times, but I don't think I'm gonna read it. And I ripped it up. Threw it on the floor. Because I just realized, in order for me to be a representative, I do not want to read something off a piece of paper. And I wrote it on my index card. I was like, I can't memorize this. So I was secretly reading from my index card.
Helsing. No, I'm just gonna come up here and say what I feel is needed, because that is who I am. I bet 90% of you here in this auditorium have no idea who I am or have ever seen me before in your life. And by saying that, I guess I want you guys to approach me. I know I look mean / scary, but I'm not. I don't bite people. I really think that's what it's about. It isn't a popularity contest. It's voting for someone you believe that can do their job. I know I'm bad at public speaking, and that is why I'm gonna pump it up. I decided to use my depressing songwriting skills, and I quickly learned 4 or 5 chords on the guitar, and this is my campaign song. Ooh, 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 ooh. Every time you eat a cow, every time you fall down and say ow, vote for Angel, yeah. Every time a cat says meow, every time you point at a condom and say wow. Ooh, vote for Angel, yeah. I know she's kind of shy and quiet, but she will do the job. Every time you face an Indian / Native American and say how. Every time you want to abbreviate California and say cow. Ooh, ooh, vote for Angel, yeah. Ooh, she's running to be queen, superintendent, advisory council, representative right now. Right now. Thank you. No one clapped. Thank you for that. I did win. Thank you. So after my speech, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be super popular. Everyone's gonna come up to me and say hi. And it, you know, some people looked my way, but no direct like compliments. Like, but then I remember this one girl. She was like one of the smarter, prettier girls, and she came up to me, and she was like, "Wow, Angel, you got some balls." And I was like, "I guess that's a compliment. I don't know, but I'll take it." So I didn't gain any new friends, but I did gain what every teenage girl wants, balls. Thank you.
That was Angel Yao, reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness, in Los Angeles at KingCon. And that was the Mortified After School Orchestra covering Vote for Angel Yao. And that concludes our Mortified mixtape to Kids on the Campaign Trail, where we learn no matter how much of a spectacle this primary season gets, it will never hold a candle to the race for Queen's Superintendent Advisory Board Council of 2001. Share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the new and improved GetMortified.com to learn about the Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PureX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp to celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Purcelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Karen Corday, Julia Rossi, Ann Altman, and Sarah Faith Alterman produced these stories for the stage. Music by The Angel, Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts, Aparna Kumar, King King, and Littlefield, New York, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survive.